And tonight might sound a little more like a youth sermon in a sense. It's from a passage that is near and dear to my heart that I suppose that I've preached on multiple times, a number of times, in teen settings, but it is not so far removed from its application in our lives as well, because it doesn't end. It doesn't end. And Proverbs chapter 4 has a set of verses that I hope are a help to all of us tonight. It says this, starting in verse number 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Lord, we do love you, and we thank you so much for the truth of your word, and I pray that you would please guide and direct this evening as we look at these truths. May you be honored and glorified with it in special ways. We love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 4 has many great verses there, perhaps none more famous than verse number 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." There's a lot that we could look at that just to ask ourselves the very question, like, what is it? The issues of life. That's kind of a broad, statement. Yes, it is very specific in that we would, and that we have an essence and understanding of what it is. But even not as broad as that is, if we brought ourselves to the front part of the verse, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Oh, our heart, like, we should probably know what the issues of life are, but if there's something that we're supposed to keep, like, what is it that we're looking to keep, this which is our heart? If you look up the definition of a heart, of the heart, not just the cardiac organ that we would have there, but really it's just the concept of the center of anything. If you were to just do a word search in the Bible, you would see the word heart come up a lot of different ways, and sometimes it is talking about the physical organ of the heart. So it would take a serious breaking down of the 765 verses that contain the word heart to recognize which ones are talking about that which is the physical heart, physical organ of the body, and that which is the center of anything, that central driving force that guides your decisions and directs your passions. That's what we see a lot of as we see the heart mentioned in Scripture, and certainly in the Proverbs, as there are many helpful truths there relative to that. A commentator speaking of the importance of the heart, as referenced in this passage, says that keeping our heart keeps the mind from vanity. It keeps the understanding from error, keeps the will from perverseness, keeps the conscience clear of guilt, the thoughts from being employed on bad subjects, and the whole from falling into the hands of Satan. Great diligence had need be used in keeping it, since it is naturally so deceitful and treacherous. A strict eye is to be kept upon it, all the avenues to it to be watched, that nothing hurtful enters. Above all keeping, keep thine heart. Though other things are to be kept and care taken of them, as kingdoms and cities and towns and families and treasures and riches, yet the heart above all. There's much that we could say about the heart relative to Scripture. Can we take a look at a few truths tonight as we begin with the reality of the garden that is our heart? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11 says this, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart." The idea of the world, there's the idea of, even has the, the concept of time and eternity. Like that eternity has been placed in our hearts. Like the heart, which is not just that physical organ, but that central driving portion of you, really the soul, the spirit, for the body, soul, and spirit, we would take the soul element of it, the mind, the will, and the emotions, perhaps, is that which is what's closely linked to the heart. And God has placed eternity in our hearts. There's been a measure of understanding that this time element and this need of something that is greater. As we see in Proverbs 3 and verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." There's a measure of a desire to place not only this concept of eternity, but even the commands of God in our hearts. Like things are placed there. things that God has placed there already, and things that we intend to place there, planted, if you will. And we know that certainly the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked, but there are things in the heart of every man that he is searching for and longing for. Every culture that has ever been found, every civilization that has ever been discovered through archaeological means, and certainly ones that still exist, have some measure of these two things: a cemetery and an altar system. Because men always die, and men always know there's something else. There's something else out there. Do they always seek it in the right way? Have they always found, or they've just believed what's been told before them? Oh, absolutely, that's it. This altar system, this seeking of a greater power and a greater being. God has placed something in our hearts to have a desire to seek Him, the one true God. And certainly it's valuable and important that we would place the right things into it. Your heart is similar to, well, frankly, any kind of any type of a player, a CD player, a DVD player, a Blu-ray player, whatever the next greatest thing is. What you're going to get out, what you put in. Like, we're not surprised. Like, whoa, why did that happen with some type of a technological device? We put something in. Oh, well, that's exactly what it is. That makes sense. That's what we get out. We're not shocked by what comes out when we know what we put in. And yet sometimes in our own hearts and lives, if I could use that expression, sometimes we act like, whoa, where did that come from? I'll tell you exactly where it came from. It's coming out because it was put in. And we ought to be cautious and careful in the keeping of our heart to recognize the garden that is our heart. And certainly in doing that, we ought to recognize the gateway to our heart. In many ancient cities, there were few ways to enter. If there were multiple entrances, they knew what it took to guard those gateways. And in many of those ancient cities, a wall was a valuable and important thing, a fortress around with which to protect them. But there's always that entrance. There's always that gateway. There's always a way to get in and out somehow. And those are the areas that were more heavily guarded. Certainly there were people along the walls or perhaps along different borders. But at those entrances, at those gateways, those are the areas that were most heavily guarded. There's a battle that is taking place for what is going to take command of the seeds that have been sown, the seeds that have been planted in my heart and in your heart, not just the heart of a child. There's still seeds being planted in your heart. There are still things you're being exposed to, perhaps that are new or different or that you're chewing on, that you're trying to digest. What am I going to do with that? We ought to be cautious of what is it that is watering those seeds and what seeds are being planted. We need to be aware of the gates that are needing guarded. It tells us of those gates here in Proverbs chapter 4. It walks through several of them. It says, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Well, why? Because you're going to receive something via your ear. That's one of the gateways to your heart. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Because what you hear is going to enter your heart. What you see is going to enter your heart. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes, once again, verse 25, look right on. Like, be focused, be fixed on what is ahead. Be cautious of what enters your heart, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Careful, because where you go, what you see, what you hear, and might I even add, literally what you taste and what you drink in via your senses, those are the gateways. Those are the gateways to your heart and to my heart. And much caution need be taken. And that brings us to this element of that caution, the guarding of your heart. To keep your, what does it mean to keep it? Like, keep it as opposed to lose it? Well, it'd be good not to lose it. But is this just keeping in the sense of just like, hey, make sure I just lock it up and put it back there so that no one touches it. And as long as I lock it in this room, and to lock it in the room would be to lock an individual or yourself. And you're like, what does it mean, that keeping? That keeping is not necessarily, I say not necessarily, even literally the definition of that word, is not a hiding away, but a guarding. Your heart, those things that you feel most passionate about, will be at the forefront of the battle. You will expose those often as you seek to serve the Lord. So it's not so much about hiding it as it is properly guarding it. makes much more sense of our need for diligence in the matter when we see it in the light of, no, those things are going to be before you. Those are the things that are out there. So take much diligence to protect it as it is out there before you in this spiritual warfare that we're involved in. Where's your heart? I heard it said that a young man falls when his desire comes in contact with opportunity. I suppose it's true for anyone, not just a young man, but a younger man, an older man, a younger woman, and an elderly lady. A young man fails when his desire comes in contact with his opportunity. Some of you have sought the Lord, and at times in our lives we seek the Lord in such a way that he's helped us to steer clear of wrong desires. Others, however, I fear, have only not fallen because the opportunity has not arisen. It would be appropriate for us to be careful to condemn another, not to not call out sin, but to condemn in the sense of thinking that we are so much better because I have not fallen in that way. Have you been exposed in that way? Have you been tempted in that way? We can look at many examples in Scripture. Well, they shouldn't have been in that position. We're going to say Joseph shouldn't have been in that position as if it was his fault. Some would say, oh, Joseph shouldn't have been in that house. I don't. Good men can feel that way. Joseph shouldn't have been there with her on his own. Joseph was in charge. Like I don't see a lot from that text that speaks negatively of Joseph's position being in that house. And yet she found him there. And we see what his desire was. His desire was to be right before God. And when the opportunity came, he said, no, I'm not doing that. And I wonder how many teenagers, how many slightly above teen years, and yea, those of us even beyond those years, we know that perhaps as we go through seasons of life, whoa, if that opportunity arose in that or any other type of situation, boy, if the opportunity arose, how would I respond? Just because you were at a point in your life at one point where you said, oh no, I resisted that at that point, but where's your heart now? Because it would be out of place to think that, oh, that place I got to 10 years ago, I'm right there. Well, as we live, as we grow, as we're exposed to different things, we ought to be careful. And the keeping of our heart is not just a message for teenagers. It is a message for teenagers, but not just for them. As I say, I'm not preaching a message that you need, but perhaps I'm preaching a message that I need. When the opportunity arises, when the interest is shown, when the opportunity comes, how will we respond? The guarding of our heart is an important thing. Yea, even as we look at the human heart, we see a great example of that. As it is at the center of our being. I had a conversation recently with someone, and you know, good men can disagree on where you put your heart when you do the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. Some people do here, some people do in the middle. But some people, like, every once in a while I see somebody like this. And I'm like, you're not, like, I don't know if they're just tired, you know, like, I'm like, that, like we can agree, whatever, I agree, I have no clue, like, but it's somewhere around the center, but it's not here, okay? Though maybe you feel like, oh, no, where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. My treasure's in the food, and maybe there's a connection there, I don't know. But it's in that central place, and it's also very heavily guarded and protected by the ribcage that God has given us, and it's an important element of our lives. Your heart's a big deal. Your heart's a big deal. And so it's interesting that this non-physical element of the central driving force would be referred to as our heart. Your heart needs to be protected. It needs to keep beating because it's important. And notice its central position in our life, physically speaking, all those things, and non-physically, perhaps even spiritually, we could say. The garden that is our heart, the gateway to our heart, and the guarding of our heart. But then finally, the giving of your heart. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26 says this, my son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. I mentioned already Matthew 6 verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where are we giving our heart? To whom are we giving our heart? What are we giving our heart to? Whatever the element needs to be there. But the giving of your heart It's no more powerfully evident in the very salvation of our souls. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's kind of a controversial topic right there, the element of the heart. And some good men have tried to act like there have been, superstitious prayers that have been offered, asking Jesus to come into our heart. And I suppose we should be careful with that and acting like, obviously, I think the danger of that prayer is just acting like saying these exact words is going to save you. No, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And I tend to personally subscribe to the truth of John chapter 1. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Ephesians chapter 3, Christ which dwelleth in our hearts by faith. And Galatians chapter 2, as we read this morning, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He liveth in me. Where is he living in you if he's in it? So when we say the heart, we're not talking about Jesus coming into our physical heart. We're talking about him entering that central driving force that guides our decisions and directs our passions. Making him the savior of our lives, thus we're told, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I will continue to sing, since Jesus came into my heart. Not my physical being. Since Jesus came into my heart. The giving of your heart. What's it given to? Well, obviously, certainly, the clear application is, the first step is the giving of our heart to God. Allow Christ to enter our hearts and dwell in our hearts by faith. But it goes beyond that. That's not what the writer of Proverbs was saying in chapter 23 when he says, my son, give me thine heart. There seems to be a submission and that giving up, certainly, of the heart and the will to say, hey, I trust. And if we would recognize more and more that which we give our heart to is that which we're claiming that we trust, maybe it would mean more to us. Right? Whoa, do I trust that? Do I trust that? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Perhaps some would say, as they look at their own heart in the light of Scripture, that say, well, my heart isn't worth much keeping. Not so. Not so if Christ died for you and he wants your heart. I love what it says of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. If he'd given his heart away, if his heart had been distracted, if his treasure of his heart had been in other places, then he would not serve God as he did, but he did it with all of his heart and prospered. How do we give our heart to something that will eventually prosper? What is it that we can give our heart to that would prosper? I think of the very first verse that I know that I memorized here as a second grader at Lincoln County Christian Academy, which was a pretty overwhelming verse because we didn't memorize verses at Utica Elementary School. And so when we came to LCCA and Joshua 1:8 was the first one on the list, that's kind of intimidating. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A second grader! First verse. I can quote it, but I get nervous when I try to quote it. 22 years ago. It was some time ago. I've seen that verse many times since then. It's the only verse in the Bible that speaks of success. It's the only verse directly connected to how we receive, you could say, into our heart, the Word of God. What are we giving our heart to? What are we surrendering it to? But thou shalt meditate therein. Even that very, very expression of meditating on something has the idea of letting it sit in our heart. Our mind, our will, our emotions. Let it sit there. Let it meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, it says in Psalm 57, verse 7. But I love the truth of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Amen. We cannot exhaust the spiritual truth of the reality of consistently yielding our heart, our will, to God's will, to God's heart. And we see that as we look this morning. It's the very heart of God that led to the love of Christ that constrains us and for us to continually recognize His heart for me is right. It's in the right spot. And I need to trust His heart and give Him my heart.